Like to say that it's always good to be in God's house. And I enjoyed the singing, and I know I say this all the time, but I thank Brother Tom for all the times that when Pastor Daniel's away that he steps in and does a lot of things. You know, we may not know and give him credit for the things that he does, but I appreciate him from the bottom of my heart, and I appreciate this church. And you just pray this morning that God's will be done. And when I got here this morning, Greg had told me that the microphone was good. The battery was charged up for 3 to 4 hours, so he says you can have at it. But then I told David what he said, and he said, we got a mute button. So nevertheless, you know, if I get too long-winded, you know, I did have one time I was filling in at a church, and they was without a pastor, and all of a sudden somebody's clock alarm went off, and they just got up and walked out, and they told me that when it come time to go home, they would get up and go home. So, but I hope and pray that there's nobody here that'll do that. We'll try not to hold you too long. I've always, you know, I know that I've sat under a lot of long-winded preachers sometimes, and a lot of times you begin to lose your concentration. So we'll try not to hold you too long. But we have a very important message here this morning. We're going to be looking at the compassion of Christ. And we want to look over in Luke chapter 10, verse 33. That'll be where we take our scripture. But before we do that, we want to look over in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look into verse 18. So you pray for us that God's will be done here this morning, and you pray that I will just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But let's go ahead and look over here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and then we'll get into Luke chapter 10. But here was the Lord himself speaking. He was a visiting preacher at this church and this synagogue, and a lot of times they would invite the visiting preacher or the visiting rabbi to stand and to read the scriptures. And so this was the Lord himself begin to speak this. And I think that today we need to take heed what the Word of God says. This is what he said, and we're going to be looking at Christ's compassion. And I want you to notice here in verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said, I am no respecter of persons. He said, I've came to preach to all of these, to the poor. And he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. It was his compassion for the lost and dying world. It was his compassion for the reason that I'm here this morning. Had it not been for his love for the poor and those that are trodden down, I would not be here this morning. I've told you many a time the family and the background that I came from. I remember sometimes when I got to go home on vacation, and I remember sitting at the table and eating, and I remember seeing all the bugs begin to crawl on the table, and I remember seeing them all over the floor, and there was mice all over the house, and there were holes in the floor and things like that. But God said, I am no respecter of person. He said, I've come to preach to you, Herschel Malone. And there I began to accept God as my personal Savior when I was a child in the children's home. But God had changed my life, and he loved me, and it was because he had compassion. We find that compassion brings forth action. Real compassion will cause the church begin to step out and to have compassion. What does compassion mean? It means to have sympathy. It also means to have mercy, and also it means to suffer with. And so we find that today that Christ said that we're to be called Christ-like. The Bible said that they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were Christ-like. And so therefore, here at Big Spring Baptist Church, I beg us here this morning to listen to the Word of God, that we will have the compassion that Christ had, because like I said, if it hadn't been for his love, I wouldn't be here today. And so if it hadn't been for the church loving me, I wouldn't be here today. We find that the church at the children's home, they began to nurture me and began to train me up in the way that I should go. And I heard the Word of God. When I lived at home, I heard nothing about Jesus. I heard nothing about Christ or about him dying. But when I had got to the church as a small child, they began to speak to me, and they began to train me up in the right way. And there I found the Lord as my personal Savior. So as we begin to look here, we look at the Christ and his compassion, and we find that truly he was a compassionate Lord. First of all, we find that there was four things that the Scripture begins to mention about his compassion, and then we'll get into Luke chapter 10 here about his compassion in just a few moments. But we find that first of all, the Bible said that Christ began to weep. The Bible said that he began to shed tears over Jerusalem. We can find that on Palm Sunday what happened. We find that he began to cry out. He began to weep over Jerusalem. He looked and he saw the destruction that was coming, and the Bible said that he wept over Jerusalem. When was the last time that we shed a tear for those that are lost in this community? When was the last time that we began to cry out and shed those tears for those that need to be born again into the family of God? The Bible says those that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. And so therefore I say that today Christ began to weep. I believe that as a Christian that we also need to have tears in our heart and in our life. And then we find that the Bible continues to go on in showing the compassion of Christ. We find that also the Bible said that he worked. Over in John 9 verse 41, we find that it said, I must do the work of the Father that had sent me while it is yet day, because there's coming night time when no man will be able to work. And so we find that he was out working every day. He had no place to lay his head, but he was working, and he loved people, and he had compassion. And so therefore, many times as a Christian, the first thing that we do, what happens, is that we just come to church on Sunday morning, and then we forget about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We just begin to live like we want to. But then on Sunday morning, we put our fine clothes on. And yes, I dressed up in a suit this morning. And I put my clothes on. But am I really working through the week for the Lord? Or do I just come on Sunday and say, yes, I'm a member of Big Spring Baptist Church, but I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing for God. I just want to be there and be part of that crowd on Sunday morning. But see, the Lord said we must work, and we have to have compassion. If we don't have compassion, just look around the world, this community. People are dying and going to hell because we're simply not working. And then we find that the Bible says what happened. It says then the third thing was that he prayed. The Bible said that he went up into the mountain and he began to pray for people. He had compassion in his prayer. He said, Peter, he said, the devil's after you. But he said, I'm praying for you, Peter. And he's praying for you. He's praying for our church today. He's helping us. And through our prayer life, we show compassion to the lost and dying world. And then one of the greatest things that he done to show compassion was that he died upon that old rugged cross, that I could have life and have it more abundantly. And yes, he died. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they done. Forgive Herschel Malone for nailing me to this old rugged cross. Yes, the Roman soldiers, they nailed him, but it was my sins and your sins that put him upon that old rugged cross. And so therefore he had great compassion, and he had compassion for you and I. And so as we look at this, and then we find over in Matthew chapter 25, and we'll get into the message, but we're showing the compassion of Christ, that he suffered with us, he loved us, he showed mercy. And therefore, we too need to show love. We need to show compassion for this community, for the people in this church. And we need to have a compassion about us that surpasses all. And so as we begin to look here, we find over in Matthew chapter 25, it said that Christ said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He said, I was hungry and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And I was naked and you clothed me. And then they began to say, Lord, when did we do this to you? And he said, if you've done it unto the least, he says, you've done the same unto me. And he said, therefore, you need to show compassion. There's people that are hungry for the word of God. There's people that are naked. The devil has stripped them of everything. So we too need to show compassion. So you pray for us as we continue now, get into the message over in Luke chapter 10, very familiar scripture. But let's look into verse 33, and let's look here. It said, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. And when he saw him, he had what? He had compassion on him. And so we find that here it said that this Samaritan had compassion upon this man that had been beaten, stripped, and robbed. And so we find that here there was a lawyer that was trying to trap the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Who is our neighbor?" And so the Lord began to tell this story here. And so we find that he talked about this good Samaritan that had compassion. This is a picture of the Lord Christ and what he had done for you and I when we were lost without him. He had compassion. He knelt down and he helped me and he showed me the right way to go. But as we begin to look here, we find that it said this man began to go down the road to Jericho, and this road was called the Way of the Blood. It was a very dangerous road, and it was like 21 miles long. And so we find that a lot of people, they were afraid to travel this road. They were afraid to walk by themselves. They traveled in caravans, and they traveled many different things, but they was afraid. But it said that this man, he went from Jerusalem, the house of God, and he began to travel down this road by himself. There's a lot of people in this community. They're on that dangerous road today. They're on their way called to hell. The Bible says that if you've never been saved, that you're going to die and you're going to go to a place such called hell. And it was a very dangerous road for them to be traveling, for us to travel on if you're lost. But here we find that this man, it was a dangerous road. There was a lot of cliffs and a lot of rocks and a lot of danger. But it was called the Way of the Blood because many people had been beaten and robbed and killed and murdered up on that road. And so we find that here, that he come among the thieves, and it said they stripped him, they beat him, and they left him for dead. And there he was there. He was bleeding, and he was hurting, and he had been everything taken from him, but he was there all alone. And then all of a sudden it said that the priest began to come by. He said now that this Samaritan had compassion, but here was a priest, a man of God, that was coming by, and he saw the body of the man laying there. And this was religion. This is what religion can do to us a lot of times if you're caught up in the wrong thing. But it said that this man, this priest that knew the word of God, that knew everything about it, and here it said that he just stopped by on the other side. He saw that body there. He was too busy. Why? Because he said, "I've got to go. I've got to go preach. I've got to go to the church, and I've got duties. I've got to go serve the Lord, and I don't have time to reach down and to help this man. And besides, it looks like this man is probably dead. And if I touch this man and I touch him, then I'm going to be declared unclean for 7 days. And then if I'm declared unclean, then I'll not be able to go and hold my position in the church. I'll not be able to do what God wanted me to do." But you see, he had everything backwards. He wasn't going to reach down to help a man that was in need, that needed help. He said, "No, I've got to go and do my job." And a lot of times at church, we come to church on Sunday mornings, and as I said, I dress up in my suit and I come and say, "I've got to go to church," but there's people dying and going to hell. And a lot of times we refuse and say, "No, let somebody else tell them about God." But it's our job to tell these people about God. And so this man called religion just passed him by. How many times have we passed people by in this community and said, "Well, let somebody else deal with it. I don't have time to deal with it. I'm a Christian and God called us to do these things, but yet I don't have time to do that, Lord. I'm called up in serving you in other ways." And then it says the Levite came by. He was a very educated man in the Word of God. He knew what the Scripture had said. He knew everything about this. And so it said that he stopped by. He looked over this man. And he stopped, and I guess you would say, "Sir, I'm just not going to be able to help you. I've got to go and do my job right now. I've just got things on my mind, and just let somebody else take control of you. I'm not going to be able to help you. I've got to go." And so the Levite, he walked on. But then the Samaritan, the one that it said had compassion upon this man, what happened? We find that it said that he seen this man. And we find that here this Samaritan was hated by the Jews. He was one that had been put down, been stomped on, and said, "You're just a bad person." But what happened? This Samaritan stopped by, and he said, "I love you, brother. And even though you may not like me, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to help you." And that's what I said this morning. I wouldn't be here had it not been for church people reaching down and saying that I love you, Herschel. I remember one time as a kid in the big church that we went to, somebody carved my name on a church bench. And I remember the people coming to me. And they called me in to speak to me. And they said, "We just got to ask you, did you carve your name on this church bench?" And I said, "No." And then they looked at me and said, "We believe you." Said, "We know that you wouldn't do nothing like that." But it was one of the other kids that done it just to try to get me in trouble. But you see, these people, they loved me. And they had compassion for me. And that's what changed my life here this morning. That's why that I'm able to stand and proclaim the gospel. And that's why that I want to have the compassion that Christ had for those that are lost. Because I know where I came from, and I'll never forget where I came from. You know, a lot of politicians today, they get up and they make a lot of promises. And, you know, they'll say this and that. But once they get elected, what happens? They begin to change because they don't remember the kind of person that they were before they went in. But you see, this Samaritan, and he said, "I have compassion for you." And he reached down, and he said that he nursed him. He poured the oil upon him, and he had the wine. He washed him up, and he said he picked this man up and put him on his own beast, and he took him to the inn. And he said, "I'll pay you right now." And he said, "If I owe anything else," he said, "I'll pay the price when I come back." And so you see, he said that this good Samaritan here, he said he was the one that stopped. And I'm thankful today that Christ had compassion for me. Aren't you thankful today that he had compassion for you? We need to be like this Samaritan. We need to reach down when we see people that are dying and going to hell. We need to reach down and show them that we love them here this morning. And so we continue to move on here. But let's look over in Luke chapter 10. And let's look in the last part of this chapter right here. And we find that the good Samaritan, he was the good one. And let's look here what it says in verse 36. It said, "Now unto these thinkest thou was the good neighbor, and unto him that fell among the thieves." Verse 37. And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then saith Jesus unto them, "Go and what? Do likewise." Now, I'm not telling you here this morning to go and do likewise, but it was the Word of God. It was Christ Himself that said right here, He said, "Go and do likewise," just as this Samaritan had compassion. Folks, if you want to see people born again into the family of God, and then it's time for us to wake up and have the compassion about our hearts. I know there's people in this church. I've talked to Brother Don, and I've seen his compassion, and I know that he loves the people in this community. There's other people here that loves God and has compassion. But it's time that we come together as a whole church and to share this compassion with the lost and dying world. And so then as we continue to move on, then let's look here over in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. And you continue to pray. But as we look here over in Matthew chapter 9 and as we look into verse 36, here we find that Christ began to speak. And it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Here he saw the multitude, and it said here that he had compassion on them. Why? Because he knew they needed a shepherd. He said, "I've seen them as sheep without a shepherd. They have no leader. They have no one to follow or anything like that." And so as we find here, as he looked at the multitude, I'm saying that it was probably a mixture in the crowd. They probably was some wealthy people. They probably was some poor people that was in that crowd. It was just a multitude of people. But he said he didn't look at the outside outward appearance. He was looking on the inside, and he was looking at their heart. And so here they were sheep without a shepherd. And so we find the psalmist David said over in Psalms 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And many of us here this morning knows God as our personal shepherd. But there's people that might be here this morning that's never been born again into the family of God and cannot say that he truly is my shepherd. He had compassion for those. He had compassion for us. And we too need to have compassion. The Bible said over in John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what? Gives his life for his sheep. And so we find that he gives his life for his sheep. We find that he personally died on the old rugged cross that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. I'm thankful that he died. He said, I am the door. And he said, the only way that you can come in is through me. And that's the only way that you're ever going to get born again into the family of God. I cannot save you. This church cannot save you, but it's the Lord himself. And so he said, I am the good shepherd. And so he says, my sheep, they know my voice. And then he said, I am the great shepherd. And the Bible says that he is the great shepherd, what? Living for his sheep. And he said, I have compassion for this crowd. And he said, I am the great shepherd. And he says, I will live for you. And then I can live through him because I can have life and have it more abundantly through him. And now I begin to live. When I was born again into the family of God, that was when I began to live for the Lord. And so then we find that the chief shepherd over in Peter, it begins to speak that as the chief shepherd, that he's coming again for his children one day. The chief shepherd's going to step out on the clouds of glory, and he says, come on home and be with me. And so as we look at the chief shepherd, we find that he is this. And so as we begin to look through the crowd, it said that he had compassion upon these people, and he loved them, and he says, I have compassion for them. And so I'm saying here today at Big Spring Baptist Church, when the Lord looked at that crowd of people, what did he see? He saw people that was without a shepherd. When I look at people in this community, when I look at people throughout the world today, what do I see? You know, I can look at children today, but I'm saying today that we need to see through the eyes of God. The Bible says that we're his hands and we're his feet and we're his mouthpiece while we're here upon the face of this earth. So when I look out and see the multitudes of people and I see the crowds, do I look and say, well, I see a bunch of poor folks. My own mother one time, and I say it just breaks my heart. I didn't grow up with my family. I was raised in a children's home, as you all know. But one time she went to a great big church in Mattman County. It was a huge church. It was a big church. And it's something that sticks with me till the day that I die. But she had went to that church. And what did this church come to her and say? They asked her to leave the church. But she wasn't really welcome there. Maybe because of the way she dressed. And I know that she dipped snuff a lot. And probably I know that she never took a bath when I went home to visit on vacation. The only bath that I would get would just be a washcloth and a little bit of water. But still, here was a person that was asked to leave the church because of the kind of person that she was. And brethren, when we get to that kind of point that we don't see through the eyes of God and we don't have a heart and we don't have compassion, and brethren, then we are just going to become a stumbling block to the lost and dying world. And so as I look here, we find that here we need to see through the eyes of God. And when I begin to look, we're fixing to have vacation Bible school here before long. And there's going to be a lot of kids coming in. And there's going to be a lot of kids that doesn't know anything about church. And they've never maybe been inside a church door in their whole life. But when we look at these children, what do we see? Do we look through our eyes and say they're just a bunch of hoodlums? Do we make a statement saying, well, if that was my child, I would take them up and drag them out of church and I'd beat them half to death and then they'd come back in and then they'd behave? But the Bible said that one time that there was children brought to Jesus and these parents were saying, here, touch my child. And then what happened? We find that the disciple says, here, get your children away. They don't need to be around Christ. But Christ said, suffer not. He says, allow these children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And you see, he knows the ideal. He saw these children. And the Bible says, if you'll train up a child in the way that it should go, it'll not depart from that. When I look at the young people in this church today, and when I look at the older folks, there's coming a time that I won't be here at this church. If God tarries, it's coming. I'm going to die one of these days, and they're going to place my old body in the ground. And when the older folks pass on from this church, and then you see these young children, and the Bible says that if we'll train them up in the way they should go, then they'll not depart from them. And so we'll know that today, are we training up children the way they should go? Because you see, one day, look at the young people in this church, they're going to be the ones that are going to be here and to carry on the work that you started a long time ago. I've not been a member of this church for a long time, but brethren, if we don't train up our children, we don't show them the right way to go, and we just say, well, if they're a physical eyes, they're just a bunch of hoodlums or anything like that, then brethren, what will this church be like 20 years from now? So see, it's our job here at this church to start training children. In Vacation Bible School is a good time to start training children in the way they should go. So when we see people today and we see these people, are we looking through our eyes, or are we looking through the eyes of God? He said, have compassion today. And so today we need to have compassion for the people in this community. We need to have compassion for the children. We need to have compassion for those that are dying and going to hell. And then as we continue to move on, then let's look over in Matthew chapter 20, and you continue to pray as we look in Matthew chapter 20, and then we find here that the Bible said that they were blind. Let's look over Matthew chapter 20, and let's look into verse 34. And we find that they were two blind men. And here in verse 34 it says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. They was two blind men sitting along the side of the road. Christ was coming by, and they began to cry out, Father, have mercy upon us, thou son of David. Have mercy. But then what happened? The crowd began to say, just shut up, be quiet. You don't need to disturb Christ. He's passing by. He's a great man. Just keep quiet. Just kind of hide yourself. Keep yourself out of the way. But yet Christ heard their cry. He heard their plea. And he said, what is it that you'll have me to do? And they said, I want you to receive, give us our sight back so that we might see. And you see, Christ had compassion, the Bible said, and he opened up their eyes that they could see. But this crowd that was around there, they didn't have compassion. They said, just shut up, be quiet, just stand back there in the back. And so you see, we need to have the compassion of Christ today. We need to love people today. There was a man that had been blind from birth, and we find that the disciple said, who had sinned? Was it his parents or who? Why is this man blind? And so the Bible said that Christ had spat upon the ground and made clay, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he done that, his eyes was open. And then there was people that got all upset because Christ had done this on the Sabbath, and his eyes was open that he could see. And so they began to question this man. And this, what was this man's testimony? And it's the same testimony that I have today, the same testimony that you have. He says, I know not whether this man is a sinner or not, but he says, one thing that I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. And so I'm thankful that I can have that testimony. I'm thankful that he had compassion for me. Aren't you thankful that he had compassion for you? So this blind man, these two blind men, and they were able to see. There's people today that are spiritually blind. The devil has blinded them. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And we find that, what does the Bible say here? It says here, we'll go ahead and read verse 3. But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we find that today there's people that are spiritually blind. They're lost and undone. And Satan himself has blinded them. But it's through your compassion, through your love, that will help lead these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, somebody had to help lead you to the Lord. They had compassion enough to come and to witness to you. And they had compassion in their heart to love you enough to tell you the Word of God. Maybe it was your family. Maybe it was a minister. Maybe it was just a deacon in the church. But somebody had compassion for you, and that's why that you're here today. So likewise, we too need to have this compassion. And then we'll be closing here in just a few moments. But let's look here over in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32. We find that the Bible says that there were some people that were hungry. In Matthew chapter 15, and as we look here, and you continue to pray as we get ready to close here, in verse 32, we find that here it said that Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in their way. He said, I will not send them away. He said, they're hungry. And so we find they was 7 loaves. They said that they was 4,000 men that had got fed, not counting the women and the children. And he says that they had the 7 loaves and a few fish, and they break it up, and he fed the multitude. He fed that crowd. And so he says, I will not send them away hungry. Church, we're a light upon a hill. We're a light to this community. And we need to have the same statement that Christ said, that I will not send these people away hungry spiritually. What I'm speaking about is that there's people that are starving to death for the Word of God. Yes, these people physically were hungry. He met that need with compassion. But we spiritually have to reach out to these children in Vacation Bible School. We have to reach out to the ones in this community and not send them away hungry. They're searching for things. And I tell you today, if Christ's church does not show compassion to the lost and dying world, there's going to be someone, some way, come in and show them the wrong path and lead them to the wrong path of destruction. And so, therefore, why not we as a church step out on faith and have the compassion that we need to have today, and we need to have the love of God about us. And then over in Mark chapter 5, we find that there was the man called Legion, but he wanted to follow Christ. And he says, and Christ tells him, he says, no, but he says, I want you to go and tell these people about the compassion that was shown to you. He was a wild man. He ran from the tombs, cutting himself. They tried to chain him up, but yet he was a crazy man. But then when Christ met him, it says when the people came, that this wild, crazy man was sitting there, and he was clothed and in his right mind. And so we need to have compassion today. We need to have the love of God about us today. We need to have that true compassion. Daniel, when he got back from his trip in North Carolina, he was sharing a story with me. He said there was a preacher from Texas. He said they had a guy to come. He was just a biker dude, had long hair, tattoos all over him. And he came to this church, and he gave his heart and his life to the Lord. And so for the next few Sundays, he came. He didn't know no difference. As I said, we got to train people up in the right way. But there's a lady from the church, said, preacher, said, you need to go and have a talk with this guy. He needs to wear a long sleeve shirt, cover up his tattoos. He needs to get a haircut. He needs to straighten up his life. And the preacher looked at that lady and said, I'm not going to tell him nothing. Why? because God will take care of the needs that needs to be taken care of. And he said, this is Texas. I don't even wear a long sleeve shirt myself because it's so hot. Eventually, this guy came in. He had a haircut and he looked good. And the lady comes up and says, preacher, I'm glad that you had a talk with this man. The preacher looked at the lady and said, I didn't say a word to him. Well, what happened? God took care of everything. And then the preacher, just out of meanness, says something to the lady. Says, what about your purple hair that you're wearing to church? And the lady says, you don't like it? He said, well, it's not natural. And so, you see, she was picking, but didn't really look at her own self. A lot of times we judge people, but let God do the judging. You can judge my life this morning, and maybe the message has been scattered, and I've not brought out the message the way that you would seem to think that it's been needed to be brought out. Maybe you say, well, preacher, you're just hard on us this morning, and I just don't like you anymore. Well, I love the church anyway, and, you know, I've got to a point in my life that I really don't care what people think about me, because the one that I got to please is the Lord himself. So, church, it's time for us to kneel down and have that true compassion. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been a church member all your life. I know that I've been saved for a long time. And when I get this message, I have to look at my own self. I've slacked in a lot of compassion myself. But you may be here and you've been saved for a long time, but you've not wept and you've not shed those tears anymore. You're not working for God like you should. You're not praying like you should. You're not going out and doing the things that God would have us to do. It's time to make a commitment to the Lord. Last Sunday, a song was sung. Benjamin walked out to the car, just a five-year-old boy. He was singing that I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We need to decide here this morning. What are you going to do this morning, Brother Tom? We'll go ahead and go to God in prayer, and then we'll have the invitation. Father, we thank you for this message that you had given us here this morning. I pray this morning that your will be done in this invitation. There's people here that's never been saved. Father, they're headed down that road to destruction, to a place such called hell. I pray that they would come and that they would give their heart and their life to you. Lord, I pray for the church members that have got cold and indifferent. Lord, that we started looking through people through our own eyes instead of through the eyes of God. Lord, I pray that we would have the compassion that you had. We're thankful for this privilege to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that not my will, but your will be done here this morning. People begin to examine their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would just step out on faith. And Lord, that you would convict their hearts here this morning. And Lord, that they say, Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. Just like the five-year-old boy singing the song. Lord, our hearts need to be touched. And we'll just be careful to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing our invitation.